Ah, Webby, good morning.
Good morning, boys. How is it out there? Wet?
It's just starting to rain a little bit, mate. It looks a bit grey in the distance.
Well,
We're
it's
not
nice and
talking too much about it though. For a
very.
golf day, you don't need rain.
Well, it's nice and cozy
So you've
here
got to
in the.
pretend it's not raining.
No,
very good. It's
no.
nice and cozy here in the George Street Studios.
Yeah, that's good,
I
mate.
guess. We'll say it's not raining, and Dave Smith says it's not cheating, breaching the salary cap. And although there's a, if you didn't cheat, you still get a fine of $500,000 plus a threat of loss of competition points. Can you work that out for me?
Well, there's been a little bit of spinning, a bit of spin doctoring in the last 24
yeah.
hours, Terry and Michael.
That might be right.
They've been trying to sugarcoat it quite a bit. Okay, this is the part that I don't understand. It's not cheating, but Brad Arthur and the Parramatta Club were told repeatedly that you were going to breach the salary cap if you pick certain players, yet they
Correct.
Continue to do it all the way up to round one. Look, I think Parramatta, to be perfectly honest, have dodged a little bit of a bullet. The fact that it's a suspended 4 points going into next year to finally get your house in order is, you know, I think it could have been worse. It could have been 4 points gone altogether. I don't know, boys. It's just another sad chapter in what's going on at Parramatta. And Scott Seward, the chief executive, and I can understand why he would say this, can say that, you know, it's all about the past. It's all about the past. It's not about the future. This club is on the right track.
Yep.
The club's coming last. I know they've got Kieran Foran coming next year. I know they've got Bo Scott coming next year.
Yep.
But as it stands, if you're a Parramatta supporter, you're going to ask yourself, when is this going to end?
Yeah. Well, we take those calls all the time, don't we? I mean, they're looking for a turnaround. And it's, geez, you can only hope that it's going to come quickly for Parramatta.
They talk about the change in governance, Terry and Michael. We've been talking about a change in governance and about Parramatta getting their house in order for the last 6 years. They made a grand final in 2009, and ever since then it's just been a car accident. You know,
yeah.
I think if they're going to change governance at that club, there's one place they have to start, and that's the constitution of the league's club, where if a board comes in, they are there for not 2 years, but four. The last Parramatta board elections were a joke. They were quite hilarious about police getting called, about candidates, you know, intimidating members and voters. And, you know, it's got to stop.
Yep.
It has to stop. And I like the fact that Dave Smith has decided to, you know, say this is your chance to get your house in order. And I understand that Scott Seward and that club has been trying to do that, but, you know, when the breaches occurred last year, they were told not to breach the second tier salary cap, and you can sit there and whinge about the second tier salary cap all you want. Every club complains about it. Go and talk to Penrith about it. They've been worried about the second tier salary cap for the last couple of years. That's not getting your house in order if you're breaching the salary cap.
Yeah.
Whether it's the NRL top 25 or the second tier salary cap, it's still a breach of the salary cap.
Mate, moving on to the Blues, the fact that they're drinking more coconut water than alcohol. In fact, there's zero alcohol. Now, it's probably one of those things today that people say, well, that's the way it should be. And it is the way it should be. But you've got Laurie Daly, who played in an era where there was all the team bonding with a few beers, probably the first two nights of Origin camp, you know. So it's a big, big shift. It's great to see.
Laurie, well, for some of us, I don't know if I could.
Your
be going
nose in. Is growing.
I don't know if I could be going into an Origin.
It's such
camp
a big shift to what it used to be.
It is. It absolutely is, Michael. So in the early 90s, when Laurie Daly was part of those Gus Gould teams that won back the Shield from Queensland, they traditionally would get to the Crown Plaza in Coogee. They'd walk in. They'd get a Crown Lager. They'd get a club sandwich. They'd do that several times. Then they'd have a piano in the Crown Plaza bar, and they'd sit around, they'd sing songs and throw an arm around each other. And, you know, it was all part of team bonding. That's an eternity away these days. Like, so last year, Laurie wanted to get rid of this booze culture in the Blues. So at the start of the camp and each camp in Coffs Harbour, in Team Coffs, they'd like have a few beers. I remember Anthony Watmore walked into the camp before the first Origin last year. I said, "How is it, mate?" And he said, "It's got to be the quietest camp I've ever been
yes.
in." Now this year, I'm not up there in Coffs, obviously, but I've heard from plenty of sources up there that just nothing. And it's not an edict from Laurie. It's just the culture that he's instilled. The players have just chosen.
Yeah.
They choose not to drink, and they're in bed
the
by
culture.
9 o'clock.
The culture has changed. The culture has changed.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
It's been changing. I think when you're from yesteryear, you don't quite understand it, but if they're not in the booze, there's less headlines.
It's just the way it is. Yeah, well, you're exactly right. Now, the other. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
It did.
Mate, this meeting of the National Rugby League clubs, well, 12 out of the 16 National Rugby League clubs, there's disquiet, I think, is fair enough to say, between the clubs and the governing body. And what came out of the meeting of the 12 CEOs stroke chairmen yesterday?
That they're united and they're going to work with the NRL. You know, it's funny, these club chief executives and chairmen like could whinge for Australia behind the scenes, and they all have legitimate beefs and they all talk a tough game. Yeah. But when it comes to talking publicly, they come up with the same line over and over again. We're united, we're going to talk with the NRL. The thing that they're most angry about, Terry, is the fact that when the annual report was released earlier this year, the NRL crowed about a $50 million surplus. Now, they've brought in their own accountants, and there's quite a few of them. There's a lot of pretty strong-willed businessmen who are club CEOs and particularly chairmen around the game of rugby league, and they all sort of looked at the annual report and said, well, hang on, we see about a $30 million shortfall here. Where are you coming up with your figures? There's been growing disquiet amongst some chairmen with the NRL, with Dave Smith, for some time. Look, you know, they can have all the meetings they want. I don't think it's going to lead to anything whatsoever. But, you know, the clubs for quite a long time feel like under the new administration, under the new commission, that they're considered second-class citizens. That, you know, that they the way that they've done business in the past isn't good enough, and that they're being sort of forgotten. So I see this more as a power play. I don't see it being anything of major consequence whatsoever. As I said, the chairman took a tough game behind the scenes, but when it comes to saying something publicly, they don't really say much at all.
Okay.
Webby, we have to leave it there, champion. Thank you.
Thanks, boys. Enjoy your weekend.